Reichman had a rabbi up at Yeshiva for more than 45 years. And I'm happy to come down. Yeah, everybody have a short sheet? Yeah. So I'd like you to read, and then I'll discuss what the Rambam is saying. Okay? So we'll go around one halacha at a time. So have a volunteer. Some volunteer who want to start with the first halacha. Okay.
This is Parashvi.
Parashvi, yeah.
This is Ase Shaltura. The prepared meekin in a quo, Shanam Sula was dead in Mitzrayim, the Lev Hamisha has starved in Hizam, Shanamar, the Hor Kayum Hade, a sherry feet, it is them in Mitzrayim, Kmo Shanamar, the Hor Kyum Shah. Uninayim should be Lev Hamisha Star, Tama Gomar, the Gat Levin Hok, the Yom Haku, Limar, Babur Zed, the Shah, the Yish Nakanamar, the Wunchen Rubanefa, the Apple Peace, Shaymo. Afilu Chachan Gedolin Chayavim Lesaper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim B'Chol Hamarach B'Dvarim She'Yirau V'Shehayu Harim L'Mishu.
Do you want to translate that?
It's a mitzvah asay, and it's worth talk about all of the miracles and the wonders that happened to our forefathers in Mitzrayim on the 15th night of Nisan. As it says, remember this day that we were taken out of Mitzrayim, just like it says, like, remember the day of the Shabbos, and how do we know that it's the 15th at night? Because the Talmud says, you got to live in Papa Yom Ha'u, you're supposed to say, tell your child on that day, Lemur, saying, Babor Zeb is Shah Shish Matzah Marr, which about the time that there's Matzah Marr in front of you, and even if there is no sun, and even Chachamim Gedolim are also obligated in telling over Yitzias Mitzrayim, and anyone who tells over all of these events, and like who like does it extensively, like Maris, like I guess Lenten, Harizah Mishubach is praiseworthy.
Okay, very good. So the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is on the 15th Nisan at night, which he derives from the Pasuk of Baba Zer, and we have the mitzvah of Matzah and Mara. That's clear in the Chumash that it's on the 15th at night, eat the Matzah and the Mara. It's not so clear in the Chumash when you're supposed to tell the story, even though the Chumash gets by it many times. But of course, there's this connection here. Baba Zer, you should tell your child, you know, Mulema, Baba Zer. The drash, Baba Zer, means because of this, because I'm going to do the mitzvah of Matzah and Mara, I have to tell the story. Okay. A few things that we want to talk about. First of all, we see at this point that there's a connection between eating the matzah and the marah and the story. Because the Chumash itself says that you tell the story at the night that you're going to eat the matzah and the marah. Baruch Zeh, Mishah Sheish Matzah Marah Nachatanecha. Which the Rav of Salvation pointed out that really that means that there's an intertwining of the mitzvahs. Usually, every mitzvah is independent unto of itself, usually. Right? But here, the two mitzvahs are intertangled. First of all, clearly the zman, that the time I'm supposed to do the mitzvah of eating the matzah and the marah, that's the time, same time I'm supposed to tell the story. That's black and white, that's clear. But what the Rav said was that really it's not just coincidental that have two independent mitzvot which happen to occur at the same night of the year. But they're independent. Really what's happening is that they are dependent mitzvot. So in other words, you can do one without the other. Really, I can tell the story, get the mitzvah, and hadith matzah tomorrow. Some people can eat matzah and marah, get a mitzvah eating matzah and marah, and not even kind of miss a time in the story. Unfortunately, things like that happen. But when you do both, when you tell the story and eat matzah and marah, each of those mitzvahs is enhanced by the other. So when I tell the story, and I with matzah and marah there, it's so to speak as a prop. Tell the story using the matzah and using the marah, and of course they call it Pesach when we have the Pesach. and I explain the story, and I say that each of these foods represents a certain part of the story, the moral, the bitterness of the slavery, and Pesach, when Hashem saved us that night, the Jewish people just called the first Egyptians. Pesach, he jumped over the Jewish houses. And Matzah, when we left Egypt, so we left so quickly we didn't have a chance to make bread. So each of the foods is a plant which represents, demonstrates part of the story. So if you tell the story with the matzah and the maror, and then you eat the matzah and the maror after you told the story, so you're going to get a better mitzvah of the story because you ate the matzah and the maror. Because you got the mitzvah of eating matzah and maror, you got a better mitzvah of secrecy and sign. And you get a better mitzvah when you eat the matzah and the maror after you told the story. Because then, two things merge into a super mitzvah. It's a very unusual situation where different mitzvahs are pieces of a super mitzvah. So there's a super mitzvah to tell the story and eat matzah and maror, so I can do each part of that by itself. I can eat the matzah and the maror without telling the story, or forget I could tell the story and not eat the matzah and the maror. If I tell the story with the and then eat with the matzah and maror, then eat it, both mitzvahs are enhanced. So therefore, the Rav is very interesting. He was against a certain practice, and he had a different practice. There is a practice which is pretty widespread that one person who's running the Seder, he has the three matzahs. And he's telling the story and meeting the Seder, and everybody's participating. And he holds up the matzah and says, "Matzah Zushan Rahma Shema, why are we eating this matzah?" And he explains it's because we left Egypt very quickly, didn't have time to make bread. Then, finish the Haggadah, go wash, and he has the three matzahs, and meanwhile there are 30 people around the table. So what they do is, they bring out big plates of matzahs for everybody else. And he has the three matzahs which were there when they told the story. And he makes the motzi and the chilas matzah. And he breaks and eats. Meanwhile, he passes a little bit around, so everybody gets a little piece of, hopefully a little piece of his matzah. But many people don't get enough because the kazayas nowadays has to be very big. A third of a matzah. In the old days they were happy with it, but some were still having an hour. But today we have measuring cups and we grind it up and we measure it. So it has to be a third of a matzah. So people can't, they don't get, everybody has to eat four kazesim. You have to eat, if you're Ashkenazi, you knock it down by one. But if you're Ashkenazi, you have to eat four times kazayis. You have to eat by the motzi, when you make that first two brachas, motzi matzah, you have to eat the kazayis, another kazayis. Then you have a third kazayis when you make the korach, when you make the sandwich with the maror. Then you have a final kazayis when you're eating the afikoma. So how's everybody getting so much matzah? So what they do is they bring out big plates full of matzahs, and people take whatever they want. You know, I have to have one matzah, two matzahs. And people eat three, four kazesim that they have to eat. The problem is, the Rav said, that's very nice, but if you're eating matzah, which wasn't on the table when they told the story, your achila is not enhanced by that story, because that story is independent of your achila. You're eating different matzah. He wanted the matzah itself, that you eat, to be on the table. He says, like kiddush, when you make kiddush on a cup of wine, when you say those words, the Kiddush cup is right there in front of you. You can't say the words of Kiddush and then bring out the cup of wine. It's not the way it goes. You're supposed to say the bracha al hakos. The bracha connects to the wine, and then you drink the wine. There's some kind of combination between the eating and the words. That's how Kiddush works. I mean, there's such a thing as words connecting to food, and you eat the food. It's an interesting point. But we do that with Kiddush all the time. we said the same. So just like the bracha of Kiddush use this technical language, this chal on the ayin connects to the ayin, and it has to be said with the ayin. So too, the Haggadah, he said, is chal on the matzah. So you must say the words with the matzah you're going to eat. So he didn't like the fact that they bring out the plates of matzah later. He said, bring out the plates of matzah at the beginning. Let it sit on the table while we're telling the story. And that's why every piece of matzah on that table, which eventually will be eaten, will have the story attached to it. And then you get the Bav Ozeh. Then you get that connection between saying the story and eating the matzah of the story. You're eating the matzah, which is part of the story. That's what he said. Yes?
So if for the what would a Rav say about if you were to eat from some three matzos, but it wasn't a full size, meaning...
Right. I understand. So what? So you're presenting some kind of a rationale for the this minhag, bring out the matzos later, that at least everybody's getting a little piece of the three matzos. But, so I guess the Rav would say, if each person is going to eat a kazayas of those three matzos, in other words, each person is going to eat, let's say, three kazayasim at the beginning of the meal, two for the motzi matzah and one for the korach, if you're getting from those three matzos three kazayasim, then fine, you ate the real matzah, which has the story. If, though, your supplement, you got a small amount, less than a kazayin. You can't be yotze mitzvah, you're less than a kazayin. You're supplementing with matzahs from the tray, from the table, from the plate. Those matzahs didn't have the story. So since they didn't have the story, they weren't there, so you're going to be missing part of the mitzvah. Not that you're going to lose the mitzvah, you're going to get a mitzvah, but you're not going to get the finest mitzvah. That's what he felt. So therefore, my personal meaning, and our Seder is I give every single person from the very beginning three matzos, every man, woman, child, adult, everybody sitting at the table gets their own three matzos, and at the end, and it's there on the table, and saying, God, God, everybody's going to get this mitzvah of connecting the story with the matzah. It's a little bit expensive to give everybody three full matzos, but it's worth it to get this best form of a mitzvah. Now, I just want to talk a little bit more about this idea that the Rav had, that according to him, it's a chiyuv d'oraisa, it's a part of the mitzvah of the Torah, to connect in the very same chefza, the very same matzah, the story, the mitzvah of the sipur, and the mitzvah of eating the matzah. So, a little bit of hashkafa, thinking about it, this I didn't hear from the Rav, just my own. Why? Maybe the Rav a little bit said this. Why would there be such a mitzvah to connect the story, literally eating the matzah? Because of a very important part of this mitzvah. This mitzvah of telling the story is more than telling the story. The mitzvah is actually to relive the story. We have to relive the story. Let's look at the Rambam Halacha Bo, the Bam. Let's have someone volunteer read that. Someone can read Halacha Bo.
The Cholder Rather Chayav Adam Laharu says Asmokimu, who ba'atul yatsa atul ishbim in Shrahim, Shinem Arabo Tonahu Tzimisham.
Okay, translate.
So in every generation, a person is required to show as if he himself left Mitzrayim now from the Shiva, from the servitude, and as the Pasuk says that he took us out from there. And according to this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him to remember that you were a slave, that is if you yourself were a slave and you've been gone now.
Right. So there's a din. The person has to literally see himself as if he were the slave and he left the shrine. And if you turn to the back, last page, very last page in the package, which is the Haggadah itself, you see the left-hand column on the bottom in the Haggadah itself, and you say, B'chol dor v'dor, it's very interesting, you say, B'chol dor v'dor, Chai v'adam liros atzmo, ki'ilu hu yotzer in Mitzrayim. Every generation, a person should view himself as if he has left Egypt. Lord Abotenu Bulvad, the left-hand column on the back page. Lord Abotenu Bulvad, Gaal, El Afotanu Gaal. He didn't just redeem our forefathers, he redeemed us. So no hotzi misham, took us out from the veil of man, and we otanu, and tadan, tadashin, labotenu. Same, yes.
Why is in the Haggadah it says Leros, but then in the Rambam it says Laharos?
Excellent question. Excellent question. Okay, we'll talk about that. That's a very famous question, which became very popular because of the Rav's grandfather, of Chaim Brisker. He popularized this question and the answer. So I'll talk about that. You see here that the in the Haggadah, Chai v'adam liros asmo kilu hu yatsa. So a person has to literally experience himself or herself the Exodus. So it's not just telling the story. There is a mitzvah, we got to the Vincha to tell a story, but there is also a mitzvah to feel the story and to actually relive the story. Because it says, or Sana Hotzi Misham. And that's in the Chumash, the Torah talks about the story. You say, we ourselves have left. Now, So I'll come to your question in a second. So that's why I want to say, that's why there's a special connection here between the story and eating the matzah. Because when one eats the matzah, one is supposed to feel that this is the matzah, literally, we are in Egypt, this is the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We are slaves. We have just become free. We're sitting in the house. We're eating the matzah, which is really slave food. It's lechem all these. And now it's turning into freedom food. We are living the Exodus itself. And that happens. You can't just say, I feel it. You have to do something which makes it alive. Okay, so it's one thing to read, let's say, a play in a book. It's one thing that play is acted out, it becomes reality. So, as a good actor lives the role that they're in, they're literally living the role. So we have to assume the role of the slaves who are now free. So we're eating that matzah. This is not the matzah of Tav Shin, Ayin Zayin of this year. This is the matzah back then. I forgot which year the left was right, but it's the original 3,500-600 years ago. Matzah. We are eating that very same matzah. And how does it become that matzah? Because I told the whole story with this matzah. So at some point, it becomes transformed from a story into reality. That's what happens. It changes from sipur into liros, and then getting back to the vahavos, which, very good question, but it's in the vision, in the Haggadah, it's liros, you yourself. But in the halacha, it's laharos. So laharos means to live the role, to live it, and you're showing it. If someone looks at you and says, oh, this is a freed slave, you're living the role. Liros is experiencing it. Laharos is literally living it because everybody who looks at you sees that that's what it is. That's what you're doing. So it's not enough. The person says, oh, in other words, even in this last most important aspect of the mitzvah, which is reliving it. It's not enough for it to be internally reliving it. I feel it inside. It has to be so real that someone else looking at me, there'll be laharos, someone else looking at me will say, oh look, slave just got free. Laharos. Now it's very interesting about this halacha, to live the Exodus, and to experience it, and to actually demonstrate it to any onlooker, is that there's a certain difference, I think, between the Sfaradim and the Ashkenazim. The Sfaradim begin the Seder right before they even do anything. They take matzahs, put matzahs on their shoulders, and start dancing, say, we are leaving Egypt. So they begin to say the right away, first step, we're already experiencing this. So for them, the experience begins at the very beginning. There's a laharos at the beginning. And it goes all the way through. Okay. Now, the Ashkenazim don't do that. The Ashkenazim, they don't march around at the beginning of the Seder with matzahs. Dance. If you turn to the back page, what I wanted to do here is try to figure out where by the Ashkenazim does it turn into an experience. So if you look at the Haggadah, which on that very back page, it begins on the first side. So it's going to, this to be a little bit lengthy to see how we do this, because there's a Haggadah here. But you should understand it like this. First of all, you have at the last page, right at the top page is where it says Perek Shvi. The back page it says Nusach Haggadah. So the page before that, right here, Nusach Haggadah, where it begins. Okay, this is basically the Rambam's Nusach, a little bit different than ours, but it's based 98% the same. So, first we have to know like this. Everybody knows there are four sons, right? Who are the four sons? Okay. Now, the Haggadah was written by Chazal. They didn't know which of the four sons is going to be at your table. And they write a Haggadah for everybody. So what do you think they did? Did the Chazal write a Haggadah for the Chacham exclusively? And then say to Pilon, you have a Russia, you figure out what you're going to say to him. You have a town, you figure it out. Did the Chazal write a Haggadah for the town? Say, oh, we have a Chacham, you figure out what to say. That wouldn't make much sense, right? Chazal was very, very smart. So they would write a Haggadah for all four sons. One text takes care of all the children. And when you say children, you mean anybody. It could be adults too. There's an adult who's a Rasha, there's an adult who's a Chacham, there's an adult who's a Tal, and a bunch of them. All four types of Jews have to be in the Haggadah. Otherwise, it would be, basically, it wouldn't be complete. And the Haggadah happens to be the most popular sefer of Judaism ever written, besides the five books of Moshe. More commentaries, more perushim than any other sefer, any sefer of Tanakh, any book of Chazal, Gemara, Medrash. Nothing has as many mufarshim as the Haggadah Shel Pesach. It's the most popular book after Chamisha Chumshei Torah. It has to be a fantastic book, even though it's short, it has to be tremendous. But so many people, billions of Jews forever, are always focused on the Haggadah. So it has to be a complete work unto itself. It can't be it was written just for Chachamim, just for Tam. It's written for everybody. So what we have to do, we take a little bit of time, but that's basically what I wanted to do. We have to look at the Haggadah and find where in the Haggadah is the Haggadah for the town. Where's that God of Hashanu Ve'elishol? Where's that God for the Russia? Where's that God for the Chacham? But clearly they get different stories, different slants, different emphasis. Then, what parts of our God is for everybody? Because there's a common denominator, which all four sons, all four types of people have to participate in. So we have to use a little bit of textual analysis to look at the Haggadah. So we look at the Haggadah. So first of all, like this, we have to have certain clues to lead us to. What we're trying to find is really four Haggadahs. In this one Haggadah, Shal Pesach, there are really four Haggadahs. There's the Haggadah for Shem and Be'elishol. There's the Haggadah for the Tam. There's the Haggadah for the Chacham. There's the Haggadah for the Rasha. And there's also a part which is for everybody. Okay, so we have to use certain clues to discover these pieces, these sections. So first of all, we know Manishtana is very, very, very important. It's the very beginning of the Haggadah. In fact, in Halacha, the Rambam mentions the fact that part of the mitzvah is to ask questions. Part of the mitzvah, because the Chumash says, Ki Yishalcha Bincha, the son will ask you a question. You look back, right on the line, mix you up. Keep the Haggadah page and look back at the first page. First page, page Shvi, Halacha Gimel, he says, Sarach Laso Shinui, Kavaila Hazeh, Kidei Shura Banim, V'Yishalu. You want people to ask questions. A line later, he says, Ein lo ben ishto shoal lasa. Ein lo isha shoalim zedze. Manishtan. Afilo hay kulan chachamim. There's a mitzvah to ask questions. Good. However, there's one child who does not ask questions. He's not asking any questions. Okay, there are two kinds of shenu ve'elishol. There's some people who are not interested. Okay, listen, there are three types of shenu. There's a little child, maybe four years old. He's not asking questions. So him you have to prompt. But as far as adults, the people are not interested. Or people not interested. They're just there, maybe they want to join the Seder, they have a family, whatever. But they're not really interested so much in the story. So they don't ask questions. And then there are shy people. They're talking to them to participate. Okay. So they're going to get out of God. It says, we got the Levinchush to tell the story without a question. There's four versions in the Chumash. Of course, about four different possibilities. So we got the Levinchush to tell the story without questions. Okay, so where in the Haggadah would we find story without questions? It would have to be before the Manishtana. So going back to the Haggadah, you have this clue. There has to be a Haggadah for She'en Yodeh L'Shol, which precedes questions, because he's not involved in questions. So do we have that? If you look at the Nusach Haggadah, where it begins, and we see, lo and behold, the first thing you say before the questions is Ho'lach Ma'anya. Ho'lach Ma'anya, Diyach Ha'lu Ha'avat Ha'lu. Ba'arad Ha'mitzrayim. Kol Dechvin Yesei V'yechol. Called the Tzorach of Pesach, Yesei v'Yivsah. Shata Achal, Shata Babam, Shata Alpei, Shata Babam, Echol. Very interesting. Four lines, very short lines, has the whole story from beginning to the end. And even talks about the Matzah, which is part of the mitzvah. Part of the mitzvah is to talk about the Matzah. So you tell this Jew who's not asking questions, he's shy or different, you say, listen, you have to say that we're celebrating. Yes, Mitzrayim. This matzah here, this is the matzah which our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. Whoever's hungry should come and eat. That's what you're here for. Good, so you came to the Seder. Whoever needs it should make Pesach. This year we're here. Next year we'll be in Israel. this year were servants or slaves, next year will be free. It's a funny statement at the end. It turns funny. Trying to talk a little about this. But clearly, this is the Haggadah of Hashem Yadei Lishon. We say we were slaves, and we have become free. We say we were slaves. The matzah, we're using matzah, which is great, as a fab. Talking about the matzah as being slave food. And really, are we putting in experience over here? Are we saying that, are we just telling a story that once was? Or in Halach Ma'anya, are we actually living? Because we said that part of the mitzvah is not just to tell a story, but to actually live the story, to become part of the story, to become a slave yourself, and to become free this night. Are we doing that in Halach Ma'anya? What do you think?
We are, because we say Hashanah, we talk about this year where we are and where we were.
That might be going towards the end, which is going to be a problem, because we're saying we're not free really, because we're slaves. You're correct that it is there, but it's in the second line. You say, Allah ma'anya dachal abatanu ba'adu mitzvayim. Kol dechvin yeite v'yecho. Kol ditzrich lepesach. Whoever needs Pesach should come and eat the Pesach. What are we talking about? There is no Pesach, as Mana said. We don't have a Kol Pesach. Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. We only have matzah. If he would say, whoever needs should come and eat matzah, good. But he adds, that's what he says, Yeitei v'yecho. Come and eat the matzah. He says, this is the matzah which our forefathers ate in Egypt. Whoever needs to should come and eat matzah. Fine. Whoever needs Pesach, which is a carbon Pesach, should come and make carbon Pesach. Yesei v'yiftah. Yesei v'yiftah. What's going on over here? Where's the carbon Pesach? So what's the answer?
We're
living the story. Exactly. We're living the story. We are in Egypt, and there is a carbon Pesach, because that's the mitzvah of tonight in Mitzrayim. To eat the Korban Pesach. So actually, but literally in a few words, less than five words, we're switching it from a story to an experience. And we actually say right away, once you see the words Pesach, you go back to the beginning, you see clearly it's in the beginning too, because you say, Ha, Lach Ma'anya, Amin Zeh. This is the Lechem Oni, the matzah, which our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. This matzah is what our forefathers ate. In other words, we are there. We are there. And that's why we can say, Kol Ditzrich LePesach Yesei V'Yivsach. So, it's almost instantaneously, we're starting off with the experience of leaving Mitzrayim. That's why we, the Sfarim, are singing their songs, dancing with the matzah right before they say the Halach Ma'anya. The Halach Ma'anya is itself the experience. Okay, now let me get to where you pointed out the next couple of lines. The next couple of lines are really a big question. All of a sudden you say, Hashata Acha, Hashata Baba Ad Yisrael, Hashata Abde, Hashata Baba Ad Benecho. What happens is like this. Because this is the Haggadah for Shein Yodei Lishon. We're going to start a new Haggadah, Manishtana, for the questions, which could be a Chacham, could be a Tam, could be a Rasha. But we're doing now Ein Yodei Lishon. We've already told the story in the simplest possible way. And experienced it, lived. Then we say all of a sudden, Hashana Avda, Hashana Babanecha. All of a sudden we stop the experience. It's over. And we're back in, we're not in Egypt anymore. Now we're here, and here we're Avadim. In other words, here we're not free because we don't have a base of Migdash. It doesn't mean Avadim mamre slave. I mean, you don't have the true freedom, which is to serve Hashem the way we want, and that's as well with the Beis HaMikdash. We go into some kind of a reality check. Okay, the play is over, the experience is over, now where are we today? Which basically is the way this Haggadah works. The Haggadah, even though the Sfaradim dance at the beginning, it is not continuous experience from beginning to the end. It has its moments of experience. Basically, the beginning to the end is story. Experience comes and goes. That's basically the way it works. That's why a big part of that God is dashing, sukim, and saying shatim. It's not experiencing it Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's just it's learning Torah about the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, the Chazal, we're grappling with a certain problem, at least over here. The problem of reality versus its historical experience. So, what is the truth? Is the truth the play, or the truth, the play stops, where am I? So this is the paradox which is taken up over here. Basically, it says like this. Saying that there's an experience of becoming free, being free, and that freedom is eternal. Okay, we're not celebrating a temporary freedom. We're celebrating eternal freedom. Chaim Brisker, the Rav's grandfather, used to say like this, said, how can a Jew say the Haggadah when he's sitting in a concentration camp? He's not free. Or he's a slave labor camp. Or he's in prison because he's Jewish. How? It happened so many times. So how did you say that I've got it then? So he said like this, this freedom, which is based upon external circumstances. Freedom is because I can do what I want. This is the way I want, or the other way I want, I'm free. This is something external. That is not always, that's not eternal. However, internal to the Jew, he or she is always free. It's an internal freedom. You cannot be subjugated to anybody else because you have only one master, God Himself. Avod Ayin, says the Pasuk, they are my slaves, and the Gemara says, Velo Avadim Avadim. They cannot be slaves to other people. A Jew can never become a true slave because he's internally connected to God, therefore internally he's always free. Like God is always free, so he's part of God's freedom. So what we're saying is like this, you know, there's an experience, and externally that could stop. Externally, Hashata Avdi, we're not free. But that doesn't stop our celebration, because we are celebrating that freedom which we got in Mitzrayim, which is internal. And that's the matzah. That's what we say in this particular piece, you focus on the matzah, Allah ma'ani. Matzah is the most unique of all the foods on the Seder. There are three foods, Pesach, Matzah, Malach. Pesach is pure freedom. That's what it represents. Just freedom. Hashem takes care of us, there's disasters, we survive, He loves us, it's pure freedom. Mara, pure slavery, bitterness, drudgery, captives, pure slavery. Matzah is both. It's lechem only. It's a broken matzah. It's the lechem which the slaves ate. It's also the lechem which the Jews ate when they became free. That was the only food they could bake. They couldn't bake any other food. They didn't have enough time. So, matzah goes both ways. Freedom, I mean slavery and freedom. So what does that mean? How can the same food represent avdus and chelus? The answer is because the avdus is external and the chelus is internal. You can't have externally avdus and chelus at the same time. Either I'm in a situation of avdus or a situation of chelus. How can we be both? But if one is an external phenomenon and one is an internal, then it will be simultaneous. So the matzah can be external slavery because the slave of the food of the slave, but at the same time, it's internal freedom. Now really, that's what we're saying in this first piece. It's a very deep piece, actually, and I don't know if the Sheni of Be'er Lishol gets it. You know, the Sheni of Be'er defends whoever's saying it, will explain it to him. If he's an intelligent fellow, he'll understand it. So, basically, this leads us to what the Zohar says. The Zohar calls matzah Nama Dema'eminusa, the bread of faith. The bread of faith. And Rabbi Wolfson, the Mashgiach and Torah Das, a very popular thinker today, he says, according to the Zohar, when you eat matzah, you're eating emunah. Amun is becoming part of your very body because you're swallowing it in the matzah. It's an injection of Amun. So when you eat the matzah, think like that. And eating matzah can really be a believer. In any event, the matzah is the article of faith. In other words, it says like this. You might be externally in a very bad situation, but you have absolute faith that God is with you. With absolute faith, Hashem is with you. And that external situation changes into external freedom, as exemplified by Tzias Mitzrayim, because you have that internal freedom of faith. You are freed through your faith. That frees you. It's a very major idea, by the way, in all the Hasidic books about Pesach, that faith frees. Some people have a very poor notion of faith nowadays. People in the world, especially U.S., Western Europe, have people think, oh, faith encumbers you, faith restricts you. We want to be free. We want to do whatever we want. The Hasidic Sfarim say that is a backward statement. Because you will not, when you say, I want to do whatever I want, you're basically giving in to your passions. Because eventually, you're going to want this. Other people want this. You're clashing with them, and someone's going to get hurt. Because you have no control, and he had no control over your internal desires and drives. And being really free means being free internally. So psychologically, I have to be able to control myself to get my better side to have the dominant role, my better side. That's the way it is. People have two sides, Tov and Ra. The responsibility of the person is to get that good side in control. And then he or she is free. Because they're free to do what they really want to do, which is the good, the moral, the ethical, and not be encumbered and restricted and pushed the wrong way through internal passions, desires from the wrong side. And they always will come. They will always come. Those undesirable passions and desires. They will be there. That's what we're part of them. It's just absolutely amazing. I just may make a comment about a certain sociological phenomenon which is clearly happening in front of our own eyes. To prove this point that people left without faith wind up slaves internally to their passion. They may be they might remain externally free. They can make any decision they want, but internally they are enslaved to their negative side. And Pesach is all about internal freedom, not about external freedom. So we say in the first statement in the Lach Manya, we're not celebrating external freedom, we're celebrating internal freedom. And what happens is when you focus on the external freedom and not on the internal, you become a slave to your internal masters, which is terrible. So let me mention something which I guess you girls are around 20 years old. Okay, and I'm around 70. When I grew up in America, marriage is a very, very strong institution. Very strong. 95% of people got married. And maybe 10-20% could get divorced. It was a very strong institution. And over time, it got weaker, 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 because people were pushing this idea, I don't want to be restricted. I want to have whatever I want. Marriage restricts. Marriage restricts externally. You have to live in the same house with somebody, you got to provide support, you have to take care of them, take care of me, the children. It's externally, it's restrictive. I want to do whatever I want, move from city to city, change professions. I don't have to be encumbered. So it got weaker and weaker. So, beginning, divorce rates start going higher and higher instead of being 10%. 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90% of those people. Still people are getting married. Then, I don't know when this happened, about 20 years ago, let's say 15 years ago, all of a sudden marriage itself fell out of favor. People stopped getting married. So for today, I don't know what the numbers are, but 90, I would guess just from my meeting, 90% plus of people don't get married, or very short marriages. And now I'm reading that they now have come up with a new social accepted way of living. No marriage, just partnering. Literally going way back to before the Torah was ever given, that before that there was ever God's word, people lived like animals. So, one night an animal has this partner, another night a different partner, there's no commitment whatsoever. And now we're producing children that have no idea who their father is, because the mother should have 10 different partners. The father have 10 different, and all of this is open, acceptable, considered fine. Now what does that mean from where we're coming from? It means that people have become internally enslaved to their passions. They don't have the freedom to make a choice internally and then make a very strong commitment, which is moral and ethical. No, my passions. Today I like X, tomorrow I like Y, Z. And I have 10 partners. And we have children that don't know who their father is. It's exactly what the, if you read the Rashi's about the family of Esau, at the end of one of the Pashas, it goes through Esau and his children. Things Rashi says, this person is a mamzer, that person is a mamzer. You see that brothers are fathers of sisters, child is living with his mother, having a baby. How will you meet this? You say, this is crazy. How did such a society ever exist? That's why Esau became. And so it's impossible. No, we say, okay, it was the dark ages, thousands of years ago. You never would imagine, and from where I'm coming from, that that could become the lifestyle today, but now it has become the lifestyle. Literally, multiple partners, and children with no sense of family whatsoever. It's a terrible thing. It's all part of this confusion between what is freedom. Is freedom something external or something internal? And if it's internal, it means I control the side which is trying to enslave me internally and become free from myself, from my darker side. Everybody has a dark side and a light side. I become free from the dark side. That's what it's all about. That's what our God is all about. So, that's what we sang at the very beginning. So we say like this, since we are internally free, and now the external situation may not be so good, but the external situation will eventually become good. We'll come back there as a swell and we'll become free externally. Again, because through faith, we achieve external freedom also. When they ate the matzah and Mitzrayim as slaves, when they had that sense of freedom, at least budding, beginning notion, they would say, oh, one day God will redeem us. We do have faith. Hakol Nivko, God will redeem us. Okay, so we took care of the Haggadah of the Sheinu Day of the Shul. Now, we get to that God of questions. We have to find the questions and answer to the Tam, the question and answer to the Rasha, and the question and answer to the Chacham. So they're the same. So basically, they all ask the same question, which is interesting. But the words are the same, but the way that Haggadah explains it later on, and it explains it that the Tam is just asking, I don't know what's going on here, it looks so complicated, there's matzah, there's marah, there's wine, people are sitting, people are reclining. The Rosh is saying this whole thing is outdated, what do we need this for? And the Chacham says, let's understand all the halachas, let's go through matzah, marah, Pesach, let's learn all the Torah about Pesach, because we see we're doing a mitzvah, we have to understand the mitzvah. So it might be saying the same word, but it's different questions. So now, we see like this. We see right after Manishtana, again, looking at that page where it says Mishach HaGadah, we see that right after the Manishtana, it says, Avodah Mila Fava Mitzrayim, God took us out. Okay, maybe somebody can read that. Someone read that paragraph, Avodah Mila. Want to read it?
You were slaves to power of Mitzrayim, and Hashem took us out with a great and strong outstretched hand. And if Hashem hadn't taken us out, then our fathers had taken our fathers out of Mitzrayim, we and our children and our children's children would still be slaves to power of Mitzrayim. And so even this, the Chachamim among us, and even the really smart people, the older people, and everyone who knows all the Torah and all the mitzvahs, it's still on them to tell the story of Mitzrayim and Mitzrayim, because everyone who lengthens and talks about the story of Mitzrayim and Mitzrayim is praiseworthy.
Okay, great. So we like this. So first of all, this is the answer to the Tam and to the Rosh. Because when you start by Bavuru Kol HaChachamim, that's already beginning the Haggadah of the wise people. Because we go down into this. Lazar and Yeshua and Psukim and Drasha, we're getting into Chacham from Ba'atul Kolam Chacham. But the first few lines are really for everybody, the Chacham too, obviously, but mainly for the Tam and the Rasha. Now the Tam said, Mazo, he does, what's going on? So you tell him, we were slaves, God took us out. And if God was affected then, we would still be slaves. So basically, we are celebrating our freedom, and we're celebrating it. And this is the answer to your question. All these complicated things that you see are different ways of celebrating freedom. As you sit here, you'll see to go through with Pesach Matzah Maror, you'll understand slavery, freedom, and such. Now, you also mentioned to this town that there's internal freedom, because we say if we wouldn't have left Mitzrayim, we would still be slaves to power in Mitzrayim. And that's a little bit of a, might be an exaggerated statement. Power doesn't exist, Mitzrayim doesn't exist, why would we still be slaves? The answer is there would be internal slavery. Maybe Paro, maybe somebody else, some other dictator, Stalin, Mussolini, I don't know, some other dictator, this crazy guy in North Korea. We would be slaves to whoever became the leader of that particular thing. So, because we got this internal fear. That's why we are free. Now, what are we telling the Russia? Because the Chacham begins at Ulvach. What are we telling the Russia? The Russia said, why are you doing this? Now, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he had a very interesting point. He says, we speak about four sons. Unfortunately, there's a fifth son who never comes to the Seder. That's a real tragedy. The Russia is a pretty good guy. He can. He's good. He has his particular point of view, which may not be what we agree with, and that's so complimentary to us. He's critical. But he came. We very much appreciate the fact that he showed up. The guy who doesn't come to the Seder, that's the real tragedy. Unfortunately, it's very widespread. It used to be that 99% of all the Jews in America made a Seder, always. Today, I don't even know if it's 50% who make a Seder. There's a fifth son. It's getting very big, unfortunately. So we want this Russia. So what are we telling you? What is the Russia saying? Ma boda zot lechem. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, it's outdated. It's outdated, the avoda, the service. He's saying this, Judaism, I'm here. Why am I here? Because I am Jewish. But I don't understand why we have to do the mitzvot. Why can't we just be good Jews? We help other people. We're kind, we're charitable, we're generous. In other words, we like to do mitzvot ben Adam v'chaveiro. But why do we have to have the mitzvot in Adam Lamokka? That's his power. Moav Voda, Voda always means service of God. Why is this service of God Lochem? Lochem would mean taking care of people. I could go to all the hospitals in New York City. Presbyterian, Columbia, big building, beautiful building. What's the name of the building? Milstein. Jewish fellow, not O'Connor, Presbyterian, but Milstein built the building for Presbyterian. Wherever you go, the Jews are very generous. So there's a tendency among certain Jews to say that's the sum total of Judaism. The sum total of Judaism is generosity. And they feel that this is the real Judaism, and they also feel that this will maintain our identity eternally. If we're the most charitable and generous, we'll stay Jewish. Unfortunately, they're wrong. It might very well be that the most important part of the Torah is Ben Adam HaChaveiro. It might very well be that the main thing is V'Avdel Reicha Kamocha. Rebbe Akiva said that. Rebbe Akiva said, V'Avdel Reicha Kamocha. He thinks that's the most important part, to take care of other people. Hashem is inspiration. We do mitzvahs for him and our relationship, but he also wants us to take care of other people. Take care. Well, Ryan says, you can violate the Torah to save another life. So another life is Docha Shabbos and Docha Yom Kippur. So saving people, being nice to people. Now I have boys who I become medical students. So every so also a couple of days ago, a girl called me up, I should have called, says, you have a certain boy in your class? He says, yes. So, how much Torah do you expect him to learn after he gets mad? I said to her, do you know that he's a medical student? He's gone to local medical school? She says, yes. I said, how do you expect a boy who's gone to medical school to become a doctor to be a masmid in Torah? If you ask him, he's a rabbinical student, going for smicha, Right? How many hours does he learn Torah? What will he do when he finishes? He's a smicha student. This boy is a medical student. Even now, it's hard for him to come to every day to the shiur because he has so much work in chemistry and physics and labs. He's got to get into medical school. He has to have a 3.94 average. He must go to Harvard, Yale, and then he'll be busy day and night. They become a doctor, has rounds. You expect him to learn Torah every day? So she says, yeah. I said, listen, be a realist. If your husband, who's a doctor, who learns Torah on Shabbos, is a very, very big master. Shabbos, he goes to the shul and listens to the rabbi Shia. He's a big master. Don't expect him to learn Torah Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He's a doctor. She said, I have to think about it. Anyway, she did go out with him. It happened anyway. But she had a reality check that, it's a different story. So we're telling this, because taking care of people, a doctor, taking care of people, yes, it's more important than sitting and learning Torah. Docha. You don't have to learn Torah. You're busy as a doctor. But can that be the whole Judaism? Can Judaism be being a doctor? That's Judaism. So that's what this fellow thinks. Doctors, lawyers, build hospitals, build a Jewish state. They'll help Jews live in the country without anti-Semitism, state of Israel. And that will make us Jewish forever. We say, no, even though Hatz Kaddish Baruch Hu Mitzrayim, it will not last. You need God. God is the core, at the center of Judaism. There is no Judaism without God. That's just the way it is. Because it cannot be eternal unless God is there. God is the only eternal thing in the universe. He's forever and ever. We have to be connected to Him to be eternal. We can't do it just by. So that's what we tell the Russian. That's an answer for the Russian. Finally, we go into the Chacham. I'm going to finish off now with the Chacham in a couple of minutes. We see like this, that the Chacham, all of a sudden, we get away from the story completely, and we're talking about all kinds of things. When do you do the mitzvah? And we discuss the four kinds of sons, and we turn the page, and then we say many things. Dash and Kasha. It's a long, lengthy Talmud Torah Shabbat Fest session. That's basically what it is. Then, when you finish with the Chacham, all the Dinim, all the Torah Shabbat Fest, you come to Pesach Matzah Marah. As we said before, after you say Pesach, which is the second column on the next page, the bottom, Pesach Matzah Marah, then you say, B'chol Dovidach Hayav Liros, now we have the experience. So basically what you do is like this. The Chacham is Mo'ez V'Chukim V'Mishpatim. You're doing a Talmud Torah session with him. That's what the Haggadah is. It's not so much the story. He already heard the story a few times. He already said the story to the Tam, and we said the story to the Rasha and the Elisha. And as we go through the Pasha, we'll tell the story again. Rami Ovid Avi, Yerid Mitzrayim, we'll tell the story. But that's for him. The point is like this. Everyone has to get excited. If you get excited, then you can get the experience. A Chacham only gets excited through Talmud Torah. Stories are nice, but a Chacham is a Talmud Chacham. He gets excited if he's learning Torah about something. So we say, you're right. We will learn Torah with you about Yetzias Mitzrayim. So basically, learning Torah is not the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's just the Talmud Torah. And also another point. The highest form of freedom for the Jew is Talmud Torah. That's the ultimate goal. Talmud Torah can make a kula. The ultimate goal is to learn Torah. Being a doctor is great. You're saving Jewish lives or other people's lives. It's great. And you're getting a lot of mitzvos. And you're getting a chavelo. And you're still filled with mitzvos. But it's not the same as someone just learning Torah. Someone Talmud Torah can make a kula. So therefore, it's the highest form of connection to Hashem. The Talmud Torah, the Chacham, does that. Fine. So we do all of that, but then we come back to Pesach Matzah Marah towards the end, and then we get these. Then every all these four, it's very interesting. Any of the English God as I got at the beginning. Then I guess he tunes out. Then the questions, which is for the other three. Then the answer, which is basically for the town and the Russia, for the Mahiva. And then the Chacham. The town and Russia are not interested in what's going on with the Chacham. Then we come to Pesach, we eat for this, and Masa for this, and all for this. Rivers, Kibu, Yotza. Then everybody comes back together. But the common denominator of all the sons and all the people is the food. Everybody's interested in the food. We want to eat the Pesach and the Matzah and the Marah. That brings us back on the same page. The point is, it's one Jewish nation. You can't have divisions. The ignorant people or one group of Jews and the scholars or a different group of Jews and the observant or one group of Jews and the wicked non-observant. It's one nation. We have to be together on the same page. Watch brings us together. We're all going to eat matzah. We will all eat matzah. The story about the matzah is different. Maybe each one has their own emphasis. But you eat that matzah. It's the same matzah. That matzah was there at the beginning. It was from there on the table. The story was told four different ways. And it's the same matzah. We all eat that same matzah. That's what makes us one. And that's the redemption. Redemption is each person internally, but there's something else. The redemption of a nation. We are one nation. And that's also an internal connection of every Jew with every other Jew. The Haggadah is saying, Jews maybe want to divide Jews into four kinds of Jews. Sheinu De'elu Shel Tam, Rosh Hashanah. But really, it's one nation. One people. This one people is one and the same, all united, all redeemed, all eating the same matzah, all eating the same Pesach and the same Torah. That's how we finish, everybody together, singing the Hallel. The Hallel is the soul of Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael redeemed. So the redemption of Am Yisrael is maybe the most important part of the story and of the experience. It's a national redemption, eternal nation, nation forever and ever, always God's nation, always redeemed, always with a bright future of Mashiach, and based on Mashiach, that's how we end.
Thank you.
Thank you.